When getting a decent job after college just wasn't happening for him, Daniel Siddiqui decided to turn his gazing at the map into a prolonged road trip. He followed his curiosity to every state in the USA to get to know America better and the people who make it work. Daniel spent a week in each of 50 major U.S. cities to try his hand at their local crafts and cuisine. He documents what's original about each one in his book called Piecing Together America. Daniel, it's good to have you back on Travel with Rick Steves.
Can't wait to share.
A lot of people, you know, they strive to visit every state, and you visited every state 20 times. Is that for real?
Yeah, it is for real. Like I said before, maybe some other states over 30 times.
Yeah. Well, you know, and you've got a mission. You're out there taking notes and learning, and the subtitle of your book is Serving the Best Features and Craftsmanship of Every Major City. So you've delved into these cities, and you've been taking notes, and you've actually worked in each of these cities. And what I want to do is just do kind of a little lightning round here. You know America so well, and every time I venture out, it occurs to me, man, this is a fascinating country. And I might go, oh, that was really cool in Milwaukee. I was just in Milwaukee, but maybe that's not unique. Maybe that's pretty standard all over the place. I mean, I love the waterfront in San Diego. Maybe that's just a typical waterfront. I don't know. You would know. So I'm going to try a little lightning round here.
Okay.
And I'd love to get your just, I'm going to blindside you with some ideas inspired by looking through your book, Piecing Together America. When you think about great urban cities, some of them also have great natural sites. What city comes to mind? A great city that has natural beauty.
In the heart of the city, Chicago. You got Lake Michigan right in it, and surprisingly a beach right there.
Right there.
Right to enjoy the skyline. I thought it was the most remarkable place.
I was also struck by your description of Buffalo, which has Niagara Falls.
Yeah, Niagara Falls, yeah.
Right there.
Mm-hmm.
What's another one with a great natural?
Let's see, Pittsburgh, just the cityscape of those Allegheny Mountains and how they built along the hillside.
There
pretty,
you go.
Pretty remarkable. And then, of course, they have the confluence of rivers there.
I love skylines.
Mm-hmm.
I like in the Midwest how out of the flat plains, in the distance, you see a shiny modern skyline.
Yeah.
And it seems like it can go all the way from Tulsa and Texas, all the way up to Alberta in Canada.
Yep.
What are some of your favorite skylines?
I'm going to have to say Pittsburgh, Chicago. Those two come to mind.
I love the Chicago skyline.
Yes, from the south side is the best.
Oh, you
actually.
Know, and in Chicago, many of those buildings were once the tallest in the world. I mean, it's just got famous architects and amazing Gotham City kind of architecture to me. Talk about waterfronts. I mentioned San Diego. I love the waterfront in San Diego.
Oh, waterfront, yeah. And San Diego is unbeatable because you got that weather. You can enjoy it year-round.
Yeah, with big naval vessels there for your sightseeing and
trade. Yeah, that's true. Washington, D.C. has a pretty cool waterfront with when you can watch the planes land right over the Reagan Airport right underneath there.
What about ethnic neighborhoods?
I'm going to give that to Chicago also, because you got it broken down to Andersonville, which is historically Swedish, and then you got Devon Street, which is Indian and Pakistani, and then you have Asian communities, you got Little Italy, Greek Town.
All in Chicago,
yeah.
A lot of cities are a little more homogenous, and a lot of cities are a melting pot.
Really. Yeah, and, I grew up in a melting pot of the Bay Area, but Chicago, you get off on, take the train, you can go to each one, so...
Right. What about industrial heritage sites?
Cleveland. I'd say Cleveland had built really big, grand, loved their pride and their craftsmanship and just their designs.
You talked about in your book that Buffalo was once the world's leading grain port.
Mm-hmm.
And there's even big silos still.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Silo City. They got a lot of their product from Minnesota. I didn't know that Pillsbury flour was being shipped to Buffalo to be stored there.
There you go.
Yeah.
And,
so.
And it's got a heritage. It survives to this day.
Yeah.
Urban trails. There's beautiful trails in a lot of cities. And they make a big deal about it.
Yeah.
In Seattle, we got the Burke-Gilman Trail.
Yeah.
New York City's got the High Line.
Uh-huh. I would say trails. Minneapolis is fantastic because you got, they call it the Grand Tour or the Grand Rounds. You can go along the five inner city lakes. It's probably best to go with a bicycle. Or you can go from Minneapolis to St. Paul along the Mississippi River.
And they've got a people-friendly trail that probably was amazing. An industrial zone before. A lot of cities are taking their sort of industrial wasteland and turning it into an inviting people place.
That's the way to go. I mean, people, especially the up-and-coming generation, they appreciate nature, parks, exercising, health and fitness.
Yeah.
They need that.
One thing I've noticed is the old sort of industrial age market halls used to be filled with stalls selling vegetables and fruit. Mm-hmm. And now they're not viable with that anymore, so they bring in small restaurants and becomes kind of a food court mixed with vegetable and mm-hmm. fruit stalls and fish market and so on. Seattle's got Pike Place Market,
yep.
And when you're in Seattle, you're very proud of that. You know, that's
absolutely.
The first place you take people.
Yep.
Is that unique, or is that kind of commonplace?
No, it's pretty unique, especially when you see the fishermen throwing, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a big deal for
yeah.
Seattle. It must be.
No, I would say that's like a tourist gem. That's something you guys should really appreciate here.
What about music?
Well, my next travel book series is focusing on music through the South, from Lexington, Kentucky, bluegrass to Austin, Texas, the live music capital.
So I think you think of Austin, you think of Nashville,
Memphis, Tennessee, Nashville. You got to
New Orleans.
Yep, you got to because they got the jazz there. Mississippi, you got the blues, the Delta blues, and then you got country, of course, in Tennessee and Bristol, Tennessee and
Detroit. Right. Yeah.
Yep.
So the more you know about what the options are, of course, the better travel experience you're going to have. We're traveling around the United States right now with author Daniel Siddiqui. And Daniel is touted as the most traveled person in America, and his book is called Piecing Together America. You can find more about his work and the tour he offers at livingthemap.com. Daniel, when I think about traveling around the United States, I think that different cities have different personalities.
Mm-hmm.
In your travels, have you thought much about that? The city is actually kind of a soul and a personality?
Absolutely. I mean, Oregon or Portland has their own personality.
What's the Portland personality?
Just, it used to be really hip and kind of carefree. And I mean, Portland's different than it was when I went to college here in Oregon. But I would say that there is a culture of, you know, I think of Kentucky and the mountain culture. It's very...
The mountain culture?
Yeah, definitely very different. Rugged.
And then you take that to Boston, that would be quite different.
Yeah, the regional cultures, I mean, that's why I love the travel, because you see the way people dress, the way they carry themselves.
I always think, living in Seattle, mm-hmm. that people say the Seattle freeze. Have you ever heard of that?
Mm-mm.
So the Seattle freeze means it's hard to make friends in Seattle.
Oh, okay.
And a lot of people who move here feel like we're already situated and you have a hard time becoming a local. On the other hand, Minnesota has mm-hmm. this sort of Minnesota nice, right?
Yeah. I ended up marrying a Minnesotan, so I understand the Minnesota.
Oh, you married a Minnesotan.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's better than marrying a Seattleite, huh? And in the deep South, you have Southern hospitality, and you feel that.
Yeah.
What have you found other than that as you've traveled around the country?
Oh, I mean, I love the accents, too. The deepest or the thickest accents is probably the deep South of Georgia. I remember my host family, I didn't understand a word they were saying when I was staying with them.
So
I was like looking for a translator. Like I didn't want to offend them to say, can you repeat that again? Repeat that again. Another thick accent is the North Dakotans, you know?
Yeah.
Almost a blend of Canadian. Really fun to listen to. And it's funny how adaptable sometimes I have to become that.
Do you pick it
up? I start
actually?
Picking it up.
Yeah.
There.
I think I do,
so
too.
So every time I hang out with my wife's family, I'm like, I go,
You got to be careful because people can think you're mimicking them or something
like
that.
Yeah, that's true.
When I was in Japan, I used to start bowing as I left the room. And
I
realized, does that look insulting or something? But this is people kind of bow when they leave the room. And you pick up that, if I'm in Scandinavia, I start talking with that sing-songy accent.
No, I appreciate assimilation in that way because, you know.
Assimilate. You want to be.
You want to accommodate people, I think, when you visit their place.
One thing I've noticed a lot when I'm traveling around the country is some communities, some cities are really almost religious about their sports. I mean,
mm-hmm.
they are self-proclaimed mm-hmm. sports towns.
Yeah.
I mean, this is basketball.
Yeah.
This is football.
North Carolina is basketball. Alabama is football.
Have you thought much about that?
Yeah. Surprisingly, I think Alabama is a very prideful state with football because it starts from the high school level, maybe mm-hmm. even lower than that. I mean, you have people going, thousands of people going to high school football game.
Is it a matter of pride?
Yeah.
They want something to be proud of.
It's a way of life. It becomes their culture. I say surprisingly Alabama because they don't have a professional sports team in the state.
Right.
So people really cherish the University of Alabama and Auburn. So that rivalry keeps the tradition going. And of course, a lot of the young athletes probably aspire to go to those two programs.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with author Daniel Siddiqui. His book is called Piecing Together America, and he's sharing his finds, his discoveries, his eurekas about visiting every state in the United States many times. He's actually worked in every state in the country to learn more about those states. And Daniel, we are living at a time right now with quite a big political divide in our mm-hmm. country. We've got urban islands of liberalism and we've got rural swaths of conservatives. And if you look at any state in the country, whether it's red or blue, mm-hmm. it's not all red and it's not all blue. And in the reddest state, there are islands of blue.
Yeah.
And those blue, meaning liberals, are in the cities.
Yep.
And those red areas are away from the cities. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much the way it is. It's
yep.
not a judgmental thing. Mm-hmm. There's just different life stories and different values and different priorities. What's your takeaway? Because you've lived and worked and met people mm-hmm. more than anybody I've ever met
yeah.
in the country. What do you make of that? And what's the state of things in our country this way?
Yeah, so I think obviously policies are a matter for people and how they vote. That helps them in their personal life, whether it's their job or their child school or welfare.
So the politics are driven by what would be of most benefit for their loved ones because
yep.
they're struggling to
yep.
make ends meet.
Or their community or
so
their
if it's
industry.
If the environment's a question, somebody kind of goes, well, yeah, the environment's important, but I got to put bread on the table.
And absolutely. And that's obviously oil country. I'm sure they care about the environment, but they also care about having food on the table. So policies matter. You know, for instance, guns is a very simple I grew up in Berea. I never met a single person that owned a gun.
Mm-hmm.
Never met any single person that went to a military.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't part of our culture. But if you go to the rural communities like in Nebraska, where
it'd be
you know,
actually the opposite.
Everybody
you met would have a gun at home.
Yeah, because their
every
properties are bigger. It's harder mm-hmm. for them to get help from
yeah.
law enforcement if they need. Military is a more of an aspiration for youth. So yeah, it's just a different upbringing. So it has nothing to do with right or wrong.
No.
It's just a matter of the environment where you come from, and you do tend to be like those around you. So you all are
it's kind of culture.
Yep.
It's a cultural thing,
yep.
and it's a matter of fear and love.
That's why, you know, all these Californians that are moving all these different places like Colorado, Oregon, Texas,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure they're going to be, either they're going to change to their new home or they're going to bring their ideas there, so it's going to be interesting.
That is interesting. I'm a little concerned about what they call the big sort, when everybody is moving into a community that thinks just like they do, because that's going to make it people more dug in. Daniel Siddiqui explores the threads that connect us as a nation by documenting the most original things about each major city in America. He outlines his adventure from Memphis to Jacksonville, Columbus to Honolulu, and even both Portlands in his book, Piecing Together America, Serving the Best Features and Craftsmanship of Every Major City. You can also hear Daniel's earlier visit with us from our Travel with Rick Steves archives. Look for program number 719 from July 2023 at ricksteves.com/radio. Another thing that's very interesting to me that I'd love to get your take on, Daniel, is the homogenization of commercial zones. When our parents were young, there was one-off shops everywhere,
mm-hmm.
and there's a certain built-in economy of a giant chain, a chain store,
mm-hmm.
you know, a franchise.
Yeah.
And if I go to many parts of the United States of America, at an intersection, I see a strip mall,
yep.
and every business in that strip mall is a chain store. Have you noticed that in your travels?
Oh, yeah. I don't like it.
You live in Bend, Oregon, right? I think Bend, Oregon probably has a mix.
Yeah, it's a mix. I mean, the downtowns usually are, you know, local stores, independent stores. But if you go to the strip malls, yeah, you're going to get your Olive Gardens, your Home Depots, Ace Hardwares. And that's going on throughout the country, except, you know, certain areas. Like, you won't see that in Appalachia very much.
What would you see in Appalachia?
They're all independent stores. Yeah,
that,
it's
yeah.
all local. They don't like outside influence at all. I love that.
Yeah.
it's the most impoverished area, Eastern Kentucky and West Virginia, but it's also the most rich culture and prideful just because they are themselves. There is no outside influence for generations and generations before them.
Wow. And you gain an appreciation for that by traveling there and talking to people.
Yeah. I mean, I saw kids at a festival. You know, I was just at an Apple festival there. I saw no youth of outside influence. It's just the way they would dress in Appalachia, and I didn't see any like, oh, Los Angeles Lakers shirt or where you would see anywhere else, you know? So it's just, they are happy to be themselves.
Yeah. So you've traveled top and bottom, big city, small town, countryside,
every city,
places.
Yeah.
And you understand pretty much some of the dynamics in our country. For the value of travel, what would you recommend to somebody who lives in a small town in the middle of our country or somebody who lives in a big city in the coasts? What advice would you give them that would come out of your travels?
I would say swap, swap environments for a very short period. It only took me a week per state to do a job. And I learned so much in that short period of time.
Think about that. In 1 year, you could spend a week in every state.
Yep.
And you could go home for 2 weeks.
I got
to
stay with the families, eat their foods, practice their religions.
Cheer for their sport teams.
Cheer for the sports teams. Try their cultural events. I got a chance to sing with the Tabernacle Choir in Utah with the Mormons.
Go to the shooting range with their guns.
Yeah, I did that. Shot archery with Cherokee Indians in Oklahoma and a contest. Judged a barbecue contest in Kansas City.
If everybody took a year off and did that, our country
would be united. I would 100% guarantee that because you can judge people from a distance, right? But until you actually step in their shoes and understand why they value certain things, then you say, yeah, I understand that, and I actually will vouch for you.
You are the embodiment of what travel can do to a person.
Well, that's why I don't like what I see in media now, because it's showing that we are very polarized, and that is not the country I witnessed.
Yeah.
Because people welcome me into their home.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, a lot has to do with me, too. I try to be as kind as I possibly can, smile, and I'm, you know, very gracious and humble. So that obviously has opened a lot of doors, too. So attitude matters.
And you don't need to be rich to do what you've done.
No, like I said, it started with nothing. I mean, I came from an affluent background, but my dad from Afghanistan, nope, you're not getting a thing from me to support you to do this.
So to have this kind of experience, to have this education, this enlightenment through education, you don't need to have a lot of money to spend.
No, absolutely not. Like I mentioned, I didn't have anything to my name. Yeah. I just had an idea and a curiosity that has really gave me the strong why to make this how become easy.
Daniel Siddiqui, this makes your book even more interesting to me, Piecing Together America. Thank you so much for your work, and it's been a delight talking to you. Best wishes,
pleasure.
Daniel.
Thank you so much.
A working holiday in the Mediterranean might have started to feel like a mistake, but the music Frédéric Chopin wrote during a challenging winter in Mallorca changed how we listen to music, with some of the most sublime compositions ever written for the piano. We'll hear how Chopin wrote his series of preludes and even hear one of the pianos he performed them on, next on Travel with Rick Steves.